It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Kathleen Goodman, who is the author of the book Puppy Possibilities. Welcome back to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you, guys. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you, Kathleen. One of the things about you is that you always have such an upbeat and positive attitude when it comes to everything, plus the whole concept of puppies. How can you be in a bad mood if you're talking about puppies?
There you go.
Yeah, and yet it just always seems like in conversations that I have, it's kind of like, I think I'll get an adult dog because I don't think I can go through all the troubles that are associated with a puppy. And I was hoping maybe you could, at least for those who haven't heard you before, kind of digress a bit and let's talk a little bit about puppy possibilities and what this book is all about.
Oh, well, Puppy Possibilities is all about teaching your puppy the ways of your world, how you're going to go about this puppy adventure. And Puppy Possibilities is there to show you the way. It's kind of like having all of your camping gear in one spot. There are 200 color photographs and illustrations within the 112 pages. And from what folks have been telling me, I've left no stone unturned when it comes to having a good time on your puppy adventure.
kind of like a recipe book, you know, as easy as possible to make good things happen.
Yes, a cookbook for new puppy families.
And I think sometimes people are overwhelmed. They'll get a book. It'll be many pages of nothing but words and kind of overwhelmed by, you know, what's said and how to do it and how to present it. And if you and I know, just even when it comes to changing a tire, there's nothing better than illustration.
That's right. That's right. And it was my experience in teaching classes here at my home in Massachusetts that giving someone a handout with the visual allowed the owner to feel more confident at what they were trying to teach their puppy. And for me, it's all about teaching the puppy, not commanding them to do something.
Yeah. Well, then I guess my question is, Kathleen, why does it always feel like the book you're reading is War and Peace when it comes to teaching your puppy? Why is it so hard?
Well, I think that if you have a book that, say, were 112 pages, let's do apples to apples, same length page-wise as my book, and there were no pictures, sometimes it's really hard to understand what side of your body the dog is supposed to be on, and, well, what do I look like to my puppy when he's looking at me and I'm saying, get over here right now, Junior. I got to go to work. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, would you come to that?
No.
I certainly wouldn't.
No.
So when you have a picture, as I have in the book, you actually see what you look like to your puppy. And remember, when we're talking about the puppies in with all their litter mates, the mom dog can take a particular stance, and everybody in that litter knows, uh-oh, don't want to go there, because it's very visual for dogs.
Right, right.
Tail set, ear set, facial expression, all that. Well, we do a lot of that as humans.
And
it's always good. That's right. And we don't necessarily know how we're presenting ourselves to the puppies. Hmm. So I have a little exercise in the book Mirror Mirror that guides people along that little path of knowing what you look like to your puppy through a very simple exercise.
What would probably help the listener is understanding what you're actually referring to. Let's talk about maybe a posture that somebody does unknowingly that would actually send the wrong message, and how would you get around that?
Oh, okay. So if you're, say, you got up late to go to work, and now you're in a rush, and you've got to get the puppy out, not only to go out for the first round of business, but then you've got to get the puppy in, get the puppy fed, get yourself together, take your shower, get rolling, and oops, you got to remember to take that puppy out for one more business call before you leave for the office, and you are late, and you've got a meeting that you're going to be late for now. So you unwittingly just let your pup out the back door when maybe you really haven't taught them that comes the greatest thing in the world. And that little puppy sees a leaf or sees a chipmunk or finds some acorns or something to chew on, and you're saying, okay, come on, let's go. Junior, come on, come on. And the dog isn't responding because what they've found is much more interesting, and they have no idea what the concept of come means. And then you walk toward them. You're not really stomping, but your body language is not pleasant. You're very stiff in the body. You're thinking about what your boss is going to say because you're the first one to present. And the puppy sees you coming in this very stiff, unfriendly-looking manner, and they say, I think I better, like, get out of Dodge, and off they go to the far corner of your yard. And, now you're yelling, get over here right now. I won't scream. I don't want to do that to people, but we do tend to scream, and that's just a failure technique with puppies. Sometimes it would be better in that instance if I didn't have a little cookie rattle in my pocket or something like that. I would drop and run in the opposite direction, get down on my knees and call that puppy in my happiest voice. You're going to be late for the meeting anyway. You've messed up. You can call ahead and tell them you're not going to make it. And that's about all you can do, because little puppies, you know, it's not your father's Oldsmobile. They don't come with cruise control, power steering, any of that. We have to teach them that come is the greatest thing. And for me, my puppies aren't off leash until I know that they understand that come means you come to me the first time every time I call. So I turn it into a game right out of the gate when they're 8 weeks old, when I first bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily have puppies on leash at that age, but they can drag a little light line behind them. They're really not going to go anywhere because they're in unfamiliar territory, if you will. They've left their family, their mother, their litter mates, and they're just kind of learning about this little world. And they'll pretty much stay close to you till about maybe 12 weeks. It's at 5 months of age that they go through, they begin that take flight where, hold on, don't get excited, I'll be back in a minute. Did you see that? And if the dog hasn't been taught that come is really great and that you're always on leash if you go out in the yard or any place else, well, then once take flight kicks in, then you're in trouble.
Right. Well, and that's where the investment of playing and socializing with the dog, I believe, comes in handy, because one of the techniques that I have learned, Kathleen, is I will play with a squeaky toy with my dog. And as a result of that, when he's outside and he knows I need to get to work and he doesn't want me to leave, I'll start squeaking the toy. And he says, oh, that's playtime. So I'm going to come running inside as opposed to whatever I've discovered outside, because I have so much fun playing with my master with the squeaky toy. And I might only be able to throw it once or twice before I have to leave, but that is a great way to get them back in from those diversions, as you say.
So you have, like, you get 5 gold stars for that, Lee, because you have reinforced that toy. You've put a positive spin on that toy. You didn't squeak it and then, gotcha, come on in, I'm leaving. Which, that's a negative reinforcer.
Sure.
And the dog won't believe you. They know he will not believe you the next time. But you've taken it full circle and said, okay, we can only play a couple times, but good boy, good come. Now let's play. Even if it's twice, you've reaffirmed that when I squeak the toy and say your name and come, I'm talking to you, and we can play a little bit of a game, even though I have to leave. Right. Awesome. This is exactly what I love to hear. It's the person that says, gotcha.
Well,
I told you to come in here. You get in here right now. Holy cow.
Well,
the negative imprint of that scolding is, you know, do it with a kid. They'll never forget.
Right. So for those who are a little bit more, less likely to want to be just their jovial self at that time of morning, give us some. Give the people that are out there some coaching. What are the body language type of messages that we should be giving our puppy, and how is it that people have a tendency of going down the wrong avenue? I know because I've chatted with you before, it's all about the energy. It's all about how you come off to the puppy, and it's how he reads that energy. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So when you first bring your puppy home, within that first 24-hour period, the puppy has figured out who's in charge of the family unit, who is a sibling, usually the kids, and how things play out within that family unit. And they also understand tone, voice modulation. The puppy watches the family interact and immediately knows when it's happy time and when it's, uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. And another thing that the puppy really watches is our body language. When I'm working with a family and teaching a puppy how to calm, I have them do the mirror-mirror exercise. I have a sheet of directives, as you know in the book, that go through a series of words that, in my experience in teaching puppy kindergarten classes, are easy for people to remember. I can take that list of words, and there's a column that says, this is what it sounds like. This is the tone of voice. Come should always be happy. Whether you're happy or not, you need to make it sound happy, because we want to positively imprint on that puppy the idea that this is the greatest thing in the world, next to maybe snuggling with me in my lap or having your meals. So I actually have a mirror in my class, and it's a wonderful thing in a family class with children. And I have people go through the series of directives based on the tone of voice. Leave it always sounds like that. Come always sounds uplifting. Sounds like that, and so on and so forth. So it's really interesting when people see what they look like, then they're actually conscious of what is your facial expression doing also, because remember, big thing with dogs, body language. So when somebody's looking in the mirror and saying, leave it, I mean, my eyebrows immediately go down. My face looks not so friendly. I tend to tense up my body, whereas when I say come, more times than not, I'm on my knees, on the ground, puppies come. My adult dogs respond to that. They turn around and bolt to me.
Mm. Well,
I have more than one dog, so it's easier to just say puppies come than, you know, Hector, George,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
so,
and that's the benefit of having all of the pictures. We're speaking this morning with Kathleen Goodman, the author of the book Puppy Possibilities. And Kathleen, we need to take a break, but after the break, we want to come back and talk a little bit about your recipe for training your puppy and getting them off to a good start. And that's where we're going to go right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. And 1320WILS.com.